Revelation chapter 3, beginning in the first verse, says, "Unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, These things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars, I know thy works, that thou hast a name that thou livest and art dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy." I want to consider with you for a few minutes tonight the question, when should I leave a church? You don't have to be very observant to see that that is a question that for one reason or another arises fairly often among us. But it's a serious question that needs to be answered from a Bible perspective. Some are far too casual and careless about the matter, and consequently they change churches about as often as they change their shoes. I've gone to one particular part of the country for over 25 years now, and I have learned that one of the only things you can know for sure before you go is that things will be different than the last time you were there. Every few years, the music seems to start, and several will get up and change congregations, and then settle down until the next time some disturbance arises, and then it all begins again. I know of people who at one time or another have been a member of nearly every congregation within 50 miles of their home. These church hoppers, anytime it seems that a disturbance arises, somebody offends them, or they become restless, they move on and they try on another church for a while. On the other hand, some are careless with their souls and they stay in a church for far too long. Regardless of what happens, regardless of how far a church may drift away from the scriptures, maybe because of deep friendships, tradition, or familial ties, they are swept along with the tide and it doesn't occur to them that it may be necessary, heartbreakingly, but necessary to leave that congregation if they want to remain faithful to the Lord. The Christian's attachment to a local church is a very serious matter because the only visible organization that a Christian can be a member of is a local, autonomous, fully functioning congregation. The local church, not the brotherhood, gathers for worship, Hebrews 10:25, Acts 20 and verse 7. The local church is primarily responsible for the edification of the saints, 1 Corinthians 14 and 12 and verse 26. The local church is responsible for disciplining the unruly and the ungodly, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 4. The local church and its leadership holds members spiritually accountable, Hebrews 13 and verse 17. And the local church works in its own sphere of influence to spread the truth and to convert the lost, Philippians chapter 2, verses 15 and 16. And all of these are functions of the local church and the local church alone. But since modern technology and modes of travel have made the world a much smaller place, the lines that demarc the local church can often become blurred. And unfortunately, many have little attachment and little commitment to a local church, and they see themselves merely as a member of the brotherhood or the church at large, and they therefore think very little of leaving a church to go to another. Anytime some difficulty arises, the answer is simply to pick up and go somewhere else. And unfortunately, that has left behind a lot of unsolved problems. It causes a trail of division and hard feelings, and it has done damage to the work and the influence of local churches along the way. So I want to consider with you, when should I leave a church? When does it not only become appropriate, but perhaps even necessary to disassociate myself with one congregation and join with another? And when does it not? First of all, there are times when it becomes necessary to leave a church. I would first suggest that when a church departs from the doctrine of Christ, that if it cannot be restored, then it's time to get out of that church. Now, the Bible may not specifically speak of leaving a congregation, but it says much about how we're to react to heresy and how we are to react to false teaching. 2 John chapter 1, beginning in verse 9, "Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. And if there come any unto you, and bring not this doctrine, receive him not rather into your house, neither bid him Godspeed." Jesus in Revelation chapter 2, verses 14 and 15, had aught against the church at Pergamos because they held the doctrines of Balaam and the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which he hated. Paul left Timothy at Ephesus and told him to instruct the church there that they were to teach no other doctrine, 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 3. We need to remember that the doctrine that a church believes and preaches and practices is not secondary, it is not ancillary, it is a chief test of that church's faithfulness to the Lord Jesus Christ. When a church begins to teach Calvinistic ideas such as salvation by grace and faith alone, denying or minimizing the necessity of obedience, it's no longer abiding in the doctrine of Christ. When the leaders of a church lead members to believe that just about anything goes, where grace is exploited and presented as a cloak for sinful and worldly living, when the Bible in its inspiration, its relevance, its sufficiency and authority is called into question, that church is in the process of departing from the faith, and it needs to repent. And if it won't, faithful Christians have no business being there. Number two, when a church introduces practices that corrupt the corporate work and worship of the church, it's time to leave that church. Now, sometimes it's possible to have glaring imperfections in a church and to have serious disagreements over Bible subjects and yet remain together and work together in love and fellowship. The church at Smyrna, of which we read a few moments ago, apparently had serious problems of such a nature that Jesus said repentance was in order, but he qualified it by saying, "Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy." Revelation chapter 3 and verse 4. So it's possible to remain in a church with problems and deficiencies because these had done so without defiling themselves. It's hard to find a church where somebody doesn't live in such a way or practice something in their own life that someone else will not disagree or take issue with. But when the sins of some become the sins of all, it's a different matter. When the corporate worship of the church is corrupted by innovations, rendering one unable to worship God in good conscience, thereby defiling my own self, I cannot remain and be right in the sight of God. If a church does not worship according to the scriptural pattern of singing only, weekly Lord's Day communion with one loaf of unleavened bread, one cup of fruit of the vine, one undivided assembly, women remaining in silence and subjection, I can't be a part of that without sinning myself. If a church introduces something foreign to the scriptures into its corporate worship, how can I remain there in worship and still be right? If a church is organized in an unscriptural way and is part of unscriptural works, how can I remain unspotted if I remain part of that church? If the church opens its pulpit to false and heretical teachers and becomes a platform for false doctrine, how do I remain there without becoming a partaker of that which is wrong? Matters of personal piety, matters of spiritual maturity are just that, but matters of corporate concern and participation are matters that affect everyone who participates in them, and when the church departs the faith in those matters and will not change course, I can't remain. Number three, when immorality is embraced and promoted, it may soon be time to leave a church. The Bible teaches that the immoral and ungodly are to be censured and disciplined, not tolerated and promoted. All of the church's members are to live holy lives, but especially men who lead the church are to be examples of purity and holiness. Paul warned Timothy in 1 Timothy 5 and 22, "Lay hands suddenly on no man, neither be a partaker of other men's sin. Keep thyself pure." By promoting an unrepentant man who's living in sin, others can become culpable and a partaker of that man's wicked deeds, and to sanction immorality and ungodliness by remaining and acting as though all is well makes others guilty in the sight of God. "Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump," said Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 6. And then sometimes it becomes seemingly necessary to leave a church because one cannot grow and effectively serve the Lord there. There may be a toxic environment in a congregation. Simply no edification exists there. Or there are numerous spiritual problems that are difficult to rise above. And while one should make every effort to be an influence for growth and for good in that church, sometimes a person reaches a point where they need to move for their own sake, perhaps their family's sake. And when that is the case, I would caution that those who leave should take extreme care not to sow discord or division in the church that they are leaving, and to leave with goodwill and a charitable attitude toward those they leave behind. It's not only wise, but it is scriptural for one to go to another church with the approval and the recommendation of the church they came from, as the Apostle Paul recommended Phoebe to the church at Rome when she went there, according to Romans chapter 16, verses 1 and 2. Regardless, if it becomes necessary to leave a church, I need to leave it only after trying to effect its repentance, its restoration, or after having a mutual understanding and striving for an outcome that will best serve the cause of Christ and bring glory unto the Lord. So there are justifiable reasons to leave a church, but there are also some reasons not to leave a congregation, and I want to spend my remaining few moments there. And I hope that you'll stop and give it serious thought if you consider doing so. First of all, an unjustifiable reason for leaving a church is simply because the church is not as strong as I think it ought to be. Now, you know, some people play musical churches hoping they'll finally happen upon one where everything and everyone is to their liking. They leave one headed for another, thinking that the next church will be the spiritual utopia that they've been looking for and failed to find anywhere else yet. Well, I have news for you. There is no such thing. There is no such thing as a perfect church. Churches do not exist where everybody always lives up to your expectations. The church is not only a body of stronger and weaker, comely and more uncomely parts, it's also a family that's made up of members of various ages and levels of maturity. At one time or another, in every church, you're going to find people who aren't very strong in their faith, who are not very mature in how they handle spiritual matters. The Apostle Paul was gravely concerned about the Christians at Galatia who were being beset by Judaizers. And the situation had even reached the point that Paul was afraid of them and of their future as a church. But yet at this point, Paul continued to patiently labor and work with them, saying in Galatians 4 and 19, "My little children, of whom I travail in birth again, until Christ be formed in you." Romans chapter 15 and verse 1, "We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves." Instead of leaving a struggling church, why not work to effect its spiritual growth? Why not be a force for influence and strength and revival in that church? Why not be an example to them and a light among them and gently try to teach them the truth? Most churches begin with great zeal but little knowledge. And it takes time to see that church mature in Christ and be everything that it's meant to be. But one man, one family, can often be the catalyst for revival in a dead or dying church. Your good example may lead others to godlier living. It may be your zeal that ignites a flame of excitement in someone else, and that spreads member by member, Christian by Christian. Your knowledge may motivate others to want to learn more and to study the Bible more deeply. Your commitment, it may make others see how important the work of the church really is. Your joy and your enthusiasm may be contagious, and it may spark a new sense of optimism in the church. And if the church is weak, it won't happen overnight. It may take a long time. It may be difficult and require a lot of patience, but why not try to work to make that church what it can be and what God wants it to be? Number two, you shouldn't leave a church simply because the church is too small. Or someone says, "Well, there's nobody my age," or "there's not enough fun or excitement and association." You know, I think some get a skewed view of what life in the church is all about, and we develop some false expectations of a congregation. Now, it's true that the early church was together and had all things common, Acts 2:44. It's true that they enjoyed each other's hospitality and the encouragement of being together. And I believe that every healthy church has a bond of togetherness and mutual concern one for the other. But that's not the primary reason a congregation exists in a particular community. You know, we come to meetings like this and it's a wonderful time. We come to meetings and it's a great encouragement to be with large crowds of people of like faith and establish friendships and strengthen relationships with others. And perhaps we go away wishing that it were always this way. And sometimes young people leave a church where they are sorely needed. I'm greatly troubled. I'm worried about this in many places that I go. Sometimes young people leave a church where they are sorely needed to congregate with other young people where activities and more excitement abounds. But did you know that when you read about the early church, you see the exact opposite happening? In Acts chapter 8, verses 1 through 4, it tells us that the mighty church at Jerusalem was scattered abroad when persecution came. And the record says they went all throughout Judea and Samaria preaching the word. Now we've got the concept turned around. The early disciples moved out and away in order to preach the word and to influence the world. They didn't move together to shelter themselves from the world. That's not how the Lord designed the church. The pattern is not for Christians to congregate in one central place and live as on some kind of commune. Can you imagine people leaving the church at Jerusalem, let's say, for a Judean church, or Christians leaving Jerusalem and moving up to Antioch because there were more young people there? Because they had more activities there? Because there was more fun and games and excitement there? Pray tell, how does that help the church where the young and perhaps strong and able people who could do great things for the kingdom when they leave a place where they might be the only viable hope? How does that broaden the borders of Zion? You know, the bottom line is, brethren, we need more commitment. We need to teach our young people what it means to be committed to the local church, not to the brotherhood. If you want to strengthen the brotherhood, strengthen the local church. We need to be instilling a commitment to home. Someone says, but I'll be stronger in another church. And there may be circumstances where that very well may be. But listen. If your spirituality depends upon how many young people and how much fun and games exist within a group of people, you don't have much faith to build on anyhow. That's a very shallow and superficial view of faith and spiritual strength. It may surprise you, but as I travel across the country, I can tell you that some of the strongest, some of the most dedicated churches that I know, some of the most committed churches that I know are some of the smallest. And in some of the remotest places. Be a light where you are. One old-time preacher said the best way to light a city is not by placing a great light downtown, but by placing a lamppost on every corner. Be committed to do great things for Christ and build up the church where you are. Number three, you shouldn't leave a church to avoid rebuke and correction. You know, some will remain and be happy with the church until someone steps on the toes, or until someone preaches something that makes them feel ashamed or uncomfortable. And then what do? They flee for refuge in a church where sound doctrine is not preached and where the commission of the pulpit is not carried out. Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 2 and 3, you know the passage, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. In the case of the unrepentant, immoral person, such as the fornicator, the idolater, Paul instructed the local church, the adulterer, he instructed the local church to deliver such an one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus, 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Paul didn't say deliver him to another church down the road to deal with. He said deliver him to Satan so that the needed discipline will have its effect, and so he can be saved. A person in an unscriptural marriage who flees a disapproving church in search of one that will look the other way. They are not improving. They are not improving their standing in the sight of God. And shame on churches who extend a welcome to those in such a condition instead of working for their repentance. Number four, don't leave a church because you've had a personal problem with someone else. I won't dwell, our time's about up, but Ronnie gave us a wonderful sermon tonight teaching us some important lessons where that's concerned. When you have a personal problem with someone, the answer is not to leave. It is not to leave. It's not a good reason because a personal conflict arises. Sadly, that's the history in far too many areas. But never did the Lord make that a prescription for solving personal issues or church trouble. In fact, Jesus covered every scenario. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 23, he said, therefore, if thy bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, Jesus said, leave your gift at the altar and go be reconciled unto your brother. And then he said in Matthew 18 and verse 15, moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. When one has offended another, Jesus said what? Go to them and be reconciled. When one has been offended by another, he likewise says, go and straighten that problem out. Go where? To another church because he won't have to deal with the problem? No. He said, go to the other party and work it out. And you know, if we would do what the Lord said instead of what we so often do, we would stand a much greater chance of working out our problems If the offender goes to the offended, now think about this, if the offender goes to the offended, and in the process the offended goes to the offender, what's going to happen? Well, they're going to meet in the middle. And the problem is much more likely to be reconciled. Problems need to be resolved, not run from, and spread to other places. And we've had far too much of people getting mad at one another and going to the next church down the road and leaving a trail of trouble behind because we're not spiritually mature enough to fix our problems instead of running from them. Don't leave a church because of personal conflict. Get to the root of the problem and do it in the spirit and the love of Christ and work it out. That's what pleases and glorifies the Lord. Rather, many of our local churches are really in trouble. Many of them are sick and some are dying. And the real tragedy in some of those cases is they don't have to be. We all need to ask ourselves the old question, what if every member of the church was like me? Because often we have very high expectations of other people that we don't necessarily apply to ourselves. What would the church amount to if every member were like me? How strong would it be? What kind of outreach and impact would it have? How much of a future would it have? Well, for starters, you can ask this. Could it regularly meet for services if every member were as faithful and committed to the local church as I am? How zealous and involved in its work would each one be if everyone were just like me? How knowledgeable of the Bible would that congregation be if everyone were just like me? What would the congregation's influence be if it were left up to me? How many would hear the gospel if it were up to me? How many wayward saints would be visited? Would the needs of the sick and lonely and discouraged be met if every member were just like and worked as hard as me? How welcoming and hospitable would the church be if every member were just like me? Instead, we're pretty good at looking around and asking, what if everybody else were just like so-and-so? But what if the success and future of the church, where you are, were left up to you? You see, the point is, you can't expect any more from a church than you put into it yourself. You can't criticize a dying church if you're part of the problem because of your lack of commitment to its existence, to making it better, to reviving its work, and securing its future. We all need to take personal responsibility for the success of the church we are a member of. Do you care about the local church enough to sacrifice for it, to buckle down and make a real commitment to be there and remain there and be someone it can depend upon? Loving the church begins at home with what kind of love and commitment you show to the church where you belong. May God help us to truly love the church and commit ourselves to it like we ought to.